Okay, we're going to continue on over in Galatians. And as we preach through verse by verse, and as I take it hither and yon from time to time, there might be other ways and better ways to do that, but that's the way I do it, and that's what we're stuck with until we find somebody better. So there you go. Paul's, of course, concerned with the saints in Galatia. The Lord used him in bringing to them the gospel of their salvation. Subsequent to there, false teachers come in, folks called the Judaizers, that added to the gospel. And when you add to the gospel, you destroy it. And said, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. And added this and that. And Paul's made clear that we're not saved by rites and rituals and human works. And Paul's spent a great deal of time on that. The verses immediately preceding this, Paul asked or encouraged the saints in Galatia to act in accordance with the liberty, with the freedom that they have in Christ. And just looking from verse 13 on, I'll just read through there. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by rites and rituals. But our salvation is demonstrated, it is manifested by the works that God brings forth from us. That's not even of ourselves. And Paul encourages them to live free that they have in Christ, the liberty they have in Christ. But liberty is never an occasion or an excuse for licentiousness or sin or following after the flesh. And so Paul continues on, and we get to verse 16 today. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is a point that Paul makes time and again. The scriptures make time and again, and we'll see several times as we go on in these verses. Folks, the struggle continues on. The struggle against the old man. I read a piece from Brother Philpott this morning, and it'll be in next week's paper, but he just talked about how God makes warriors. You know, you're not made warriors, and he used a couple names. I'm sure they were the training camps of England or whatever. But, you know, warriors aren't made at Annapolis and West Point. You know, warriors are made at Chancellorsville, you know, in Fredericksburg and Corinth. And these other things where you contended with the battle. That's where experienced and hardened warriors are made. And God intends for us to be mature Christians, to be warriors in the faith. And to be so, there must be a contending. You say, it'd be nice if, you know, when the Lord saved us, just took us home, it was all over. But for what the Lord has intended for us to be over here where he intends us to be, we have to go from where we are, and we have to go the route between. And the Lord has deigned that. And so, it shouldn't be strange to us that the struggle continues. The struggle against the old man. You know, the old nature hasn't been eradicated. You know, the Lord gave us a new nature and a new heart. Well, we still contend with that old nature and the old man. And the Spirit is indeed strong. And God's grace is absolutely sufficient. But the battle goes on. And so Paul says, this then I say, walk in the Spirit. He says this then, which is kind of, he's saying on the contrary. On the contrary of what he'd mentioned before in those previous verses where they might contend with another, one another, and they fight and devour, and you know, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and you know, and I'm of the Judaizers, and I'm, Paul says on the contrary, or this I say then, instead of the conflict and the infighting, he says, walk in the Spirit. The word walk is a very important word in Scripture. It refers to our whole manner of living. Your walk is how you live your life. Your walk is emblematic of the sphere in which you exist. Paul says walk in the Spirit, but you understand that's not within us. It's only possible through Him. We are to walk in the Spirit. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to exist in the Spirit. Some folks have called it living in the presence of God. You know, try to cultivate that in your life. You know, sometimes think, well, nobody's here, nobody's watching. Yeah, somebody is here. And yeah, somebody is watching. And so living in the presence of God, learn to lean on Him, learn to cultivate that in our own lives. And it becomes more and more important as we go on in our Christian lives, in the battles that face us. And Paul says, walk in the Spirit. And that speaks of a conscious effort that becomes almost unconscious, and it's similar to our physical walking. You all remember when you learned to walk? Well, no, you don't. But you've watched kids learn to walk, and you know it's an effort with them. Sometimes you watch them when they're real little, and they're trying so hard, and they're having to think about it. And Paul, and that's the way our walk is to be. It's to be a conscious effort. But it's eventually should come to where it's virtually unconscious. It's the same act, and the same muscles are involved, and the same process is going about. But, you know, it becomes, as it were, second nature to us. But it still needs to be a conscious thing. I mean, I don't go walking across the room unless I determine I'm going to do that. And I think so, anyway. And Paul says this when he writes to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse 15. He said this, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. Circumspectly speaks of something that's deliberate, something that's thoughtful. And in the context of our Christian lives, circumspectly speaks of something that's done prayerfully. See that you walk circumspectly. And to cultivate that, you know, it's easy for me to get up here and preach this stuff. I struggle with it just like everyone else, maybe more than everybody else. You know, but to live in that, to live in an attitude of prayer. You know, prayer is not just something you do, you know, when you sit down at the supper table, or when you're sitting at devotions, or you know, when you come to church. We seek to learn to live in an attitude of prayer, of communication with God, sensing His presence. As Paul says, walk circumspectly. Think about it. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, this struggle, this fight, there's a way over it. The lust of the flesh indeed remains, but it does not have to be fulfilled. Now, this word Paul uses here, we've looked at it before, and he'll use it later on as well. He says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The lust of the flesh remains. The old man's still there. But to be fulfilled means something that's accomplished, something that's maintained, something that's surrendered to. You know, we don't accomplish those lusts are there. Those desires are there. I saw some fellow today just talked about, you know, the perverseness that surrounds us. And he talked about, you know, attractions to the same sex and so forth. He said, you know, that's something you may or may not have. Frankly, I have to say I've never been able to understand that at all. But maybe somebody would have that desire, that attraction. But you don't give in to it. Because you have it. You say, well, God made me do it. God made me that way. So, no. The lust of the... Now, I have other desires and lusts, I'm sure, that are just as untoward, just as perverse. But you don't give in to them. You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. They don't go away. Not in this life. Folks say, well, you know, you hear this a lot. I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself. Well, let me tell you something. No, you couldn't. But the Holy Spirit can. We can't help ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we're beyond help. And He gives us the Comforter, the Succor, the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill, you'll not accomplish, you'll not give in to, you'll not complete those lusts of the flesh. Paul's we're talking about the habitual manner of our living. Talking to someone last couple weeks or so, you know, concerned about, you know, their own failings and shortcomings and sometimes wondering if they could even be a Christian. I think if you don't maybe from time to time wonder that, you're probably not. But because you look at your own life and your own shortcomings and it troubles you so and it bothers you so. But the manner of living, the habitual life of a Christian is not into these things. And Paul's going to get into some specifics here. Specifics that really apply in Paul's day, obviously, but they apply to our day as well. We're not to fulfill, we're not to fill up, we're not to complete, we're not to perfect the lusts of the flesh. We can't eradicate them. We can't make them go away, but we're not to surrender to them. The bottom line is this, and Paul's going to get into it, and he uses some strong language here. Habitual sin is not the way of life of the child of God. Habitual sin is not the way of life of the child of God. Paul deals with this many times as he various folks that he's written to. I'll take a little bit and look at as he spoke to the saints there in Rome, in Romans 8. And we studied through Rome too. It only took us 10 years. But Romans 8 and verse 1, Paul said this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, what Paul isn't saying we get in Christ because we don't walk after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. Paul makes abundantly clear elsewhere that we're in Christ before the foundation of the world. God's elect are in Christ. We were in Him, he says, before the foundation of the world. But those that are in Him and those that have been regenerated by the Spirit of God and have been brought to embrace the gospel of their salvation, their manner of living is not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What this is here in oftentimes, and the Arminians like to confuse them, but this is descriptive language. It describes those who are the children of God. It describes those who are not under condemnation. It's not because they don't walk after the flesh that they're not under condemnation, but if they're not under condemnation, they don't walk after the flesh. Again, that refers to a manner of living, to our habitual existence. We don't attain to perfection in this life. And there'll be shortcomings, there'll be failings. They can be pretty rough ones sometimes. Like, look at Paul. I mean, David. and Paul too, when he was Saul. He was still God's elect. He hadn't been born again yet, though. But David, who fell into terrible sin. His manner of living was not his habitual existence. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's just absolute truth, period. And they are the ones who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He goes on in verse 2. For the law of the... In Romans 8, I'm still in Romans 8. In verse 2 he says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. And Paul here is telling the saints in Galatia to live in accordance with the freedom, with the liberty they have in Christ. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Free to do what? Free to not walk after the flesh. It made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. In that it was weak. How was the law weak? Through the flesh. It was the flesh. God's law is perfect. But we're not. And we can't attain to it. For what the law could not do. And that's what these Judaizers are coming in. They're trying to bring in the law again. It can't do it. It's no good. It's useless. It's kind of like, you know, this day and age we have all these socialists in politics. It's never worked. It never will work. And yet they keep promoting it. They keep pushing it. They can't look and say, this doesn't work. And the biggest problem with that, there's plenty, but the biggest problem, even in what they would call maybe pure socialism or whatever, it's the same basic root. It's the depravity of mankind. It's the fallen creature. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What we couldn't do, Christ did. And what we can't do, the Holy Spirit does. As we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Continues on there in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law, here comes that word again, that the righteousness of the law is righteous. It's God's law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That it might be completed in us. That it might be brought to its intended conclusion. That it might be filled up in us. That's only by the work of God. And by the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And then that descriptive clause again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is what God works in his children. This is descriptive of what God's will is. And then in verse 5 of Romans 8 there, he says this, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. One who's still in the flesh, who still lives in that realm of the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Can't look at a man's heart or a woman's heart. But there'll be evidence in life, in the way they live, in the way they walk, that you walk in the Spirit. There's the evidence. There's the proof of God's work. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so, when Paul calls them to make sure their liberty in Christ, to stand fast in that liberty, he's not telling them to act like a bunch of heathen. Go and just do whatever feels good and what you want to do. No, do what God would have you to do. Walk in the Spirit. Cultivate. Circumspectly. Deliberately. That we don't fill up, that we don't fulfill those things of the law and of the lust, but we do fill up and fulfill those things of God. Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 2 and verse 3. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation. That word conversation is essentially the same, covers the same ground as when we talked about walk. You know, our conversation, it's not talking about the words we speak. Our conversation is our manner of living. And normally it refers to the habitual or characteristic manner of our living. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In the lusts of our flesh. Folks, that's where we used to live. That's where we used to be. We all, he said, had our conversation, our manner of life, our sphere of existence, in the lusts of the flesh. And he used that word again. Fulfilling, filling up, accomplishing, bringing to their conclusion the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Brother, that's where all mankind is. That's where all mankind was. Even the elect of God. You know, we were born dead in trespasses and sin because of our relationship to Adam. Those that have been and were in Christ from before the foundation of the world, they'll be manifested in time. But they're born dead in trespasses and sin because of their relationship to their father Adam. Not just because, folks say, well, that's not fair. You were in Adam. You understand that? People don't grasp that sometimes. You had a part in it all. You lended your assent to what went on. You said, well, I don't remember doing that. There's a lot of stuff you don't remember doing. Like I said, you don't remember learning to walk, but you did. Among whom also we had, Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature, speaking of our relationship to Adam, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The elect of God are not under his condemnation. But they are the children of wrath when they're born. Because of their relationship to Adam. They're men. They're born dead in trespasses and sin. And by nature, their own being, they were children of wrath, even as others. Such is the state that we came into this world in. And that was the sphere in which we existed and lived. That was our manner of living. That was our walk. That was our conversation. But when God regenerates his elect, brings them to embrace the gospel of their salvation. They'll be manifested, they'll be demonstrated by, they no longer walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's their habitual living. That's their characteristics. That they're not, he says, that we're not to be, in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, we're not to be conformed. We're not to be fashioned by the things of the world, by the lusts of the world, by what all those folks that are by nature children of wrath do, and which we at one time. We're not to be conformed. We're not to be fashioned. Again, Peter says, as obedient children, 1 Peter 1:14, if I didn't give the reference, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Listen, don't try to fashion yourself over what you were. Don't try to fashion yourself after the children of wrath. That's not to be our template. You know, not fashioning yourself. You know, you have templates you make things from, and or molds. You know, you pour something in this mold and you dump it out, and that's what it is. Don't be doing that. Don't be using that mold. We're not to fashion ourselves after our former lusts. And so this is demonstrated, manifested, not to a perfect degree, in the life of a child of God. Paul notes, you know, the struggle goes on. In fact, you know, Paul agonizes over that in his own life. And we'll look at some of that next week, I think, as well. The struggle goes on. We have to continue the fight. We have to continue the fight. But here's the thing, folks. The victory's assured. The victory's assured. It's not yet completely won, but it's assured for the child of God. Paul wrote to young Titus, said Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful. Again, being circumspect, being deliberate, that they might be careful to maintain good works. Now, it's the work of the Spirit. And God accomplishes that in His children. But it's something that we have to engage in, that we struggle with. Now, we're involved in by the grace of God. May not seem pleasant, but it's God's will. It's for our good. That they which believe in God might be careful, they might exert care, they might exert effort. But human effort's not enough. That they might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. The battle continues. The war rages. We're called to it. But we're to carefully walk in the Spirit. And if we carefully walk in the Spirit, by the grace of God, we'll not fulfill those. We'll not fill them up. We'll not bring them to their conclusion. Doesn't mean we won't, you know, veer here and there from time. But we won't bring them to their conclusion. We won't fill them up. We won't make them complete. Again, he wrote to Titus in Titus 2, and I'll wrap it up here in verse 11. Paul said, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And he's talking of the elect there in the context quite clearly, to all, literally, and to all of God's elect. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out, you know, like a sore thumb. They're supposed to say, those folks are peculiar. We're peculiar people. That we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And I tell you, more and more, somebody that lives that way is going to stick out more and more. I mean, on every hand, you know, from government to big business to whatever, and just the depravity is rampant. I saw it. It'll be in next week's papers, too. I'll close with this. Just an example of the depravity that abounds. That folks came. Kellogg's has now taken a cereal, and they put all Rice Krispies and Frosted Flakes and Raisin Bran and all these things in one box. It's called Better Together. Now, when I first read that, I thought I was feeling like you did. I guess they're individually wrapped in cellophane inside this one big box. But the point of it is they're showing they're promoting of the perversity of our society. You know, in fact, they're giving money to GLAAD, which is gay, lesbian, I don't even know what all those things, I can't keep up with what all those things mean. But they're promoting this perverted lifestyle. Good old Kellogg's, right? Another reason not to eat that junk. But that's the society. And if you stand against that stuff, you're going to be looked upon as more and more peculiar, more and more odd. They're eventually going to look upon us as evil, and they're eventually going to say, the Lord said, you know, when they kill you, they'll think they're doing God a favor. Folks, that day may not be so far away. By the grace of God, may we stand and be what He'd have us to be. May we, by His grace, walk in the Spirit, circumspectly, deliberately, consciously. Making that effort, but understanding that it's all of Him. And may that be so. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 401, Lead Me Gently Home. 401, Lead Me Gently Home. If you'd like to stand as we sing this out this morning.
Lest I fall upon the wayside.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, privilege to gather here. We thank you for each one that's with us, for those who listened in, those who will listen in later on this week as well. Lord, may we all be strengthened and encouraged in our walks. May we walk circumspectly in spirit. May we realize that it's all by your grace, it's all by your doing. Yeah, Father, we're called to fight on, to struggle on, to overcome by your grace. Father, may that be so. Oh, we pray for those that need your healing, for those that need your comfort, for our sisters and brothers in the Lord, for those your churches that still proclaim their truth. Father, thank you for that love that spanned in eternity and was manifested in the all-sufficient atoning death of your Son, and Lord, for the work of the Spirit. It gave us life, brought us to embrace the gospel of our salvation, and it provides power today to overcome those old lusts of the flesh. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.